Joshua 20, verses 2, 3, and 4 will be our text this morning. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Now these six cities of refuge typified and portrayed our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God that is in Christ for sinners. These cities of refuge represent to us the love, mercy, and grace of God for guilty sinners. The word refuge has with it the idea of hope. It is used in just that way in the Scriptures. If you want to turn to Hebrews 6 for a moment, a refuge is a place or a person, something to whom or to which we flee in time of danger, when we sense danger coming or trouble about us, and we flee to that person or to that thing for safety and security. Here in Hebrews 6, verse 18, the apostle writes by inspiration and says that by two immutable things, God's oath and God's covenant, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. That's comfort, peace, consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have, look at this now, as an anchor of the soul. The hope that we have in Christ is that anchor which holds our souls steady and firm in the midst of trouble and storms, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now these cities of refuge were typical of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the thing I want you to see this morning and show you how they were typical of him. According to the law of God, any man who killed another man was a man under the sentence of death and must die. That man who sheds blood, that man's blood must be shed. According to the justice of God, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. Even in the case where a man accidentally killed another, when a man was just perhaps, as we read earlier, out in the woods working with his neighbor and an axe head fell off, hit him in the head and killed him, even then that man was subject to death because of the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood was obliged to avenge his brother's blood under the law of God. And so he would go after the one who had even accidentally killed his brother or his next of kin and would slay that man unless he was found in safety in the city of refuge. Now these cities of refuge were six. They were appointed three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other side of the Jordan, and they were appointed throughout the land of Israel so that the manslayer might easily flee to one of those cities of refuge within just a half day's journey. The way to these cities was always kept clear. It was regularly maintained and repaired. The roads were kept in such a condition that they could constantly be easily traveled. Now this is something we have to look to a little bit in history, though it's certainly implied in the Scriptures we read earlier. But the Jewish rabbis inform us that at least once every year, the magistrates in those cities of refuge were responsible to send out road crews to repair the way. They were to go out and remove any fallen debris, any trees that may have fallen across the way, or any rocks that were in the way. Every high place would be brought down. Every low place would be lifted up so that the way to the city of refuge would be leveled out and easily traveled. Not only that, but there were signs all over the land of Israel pointing to the cities of refuge, so that when you be going down the road, the manslayer fleeing for his life with the avenger of blood hotly pursuing him, he would run to a crossroad and see a sign, but he wouldn't even have to stop and hesitate. Immediately, he'd see a sign with bold letters, refuge, and he'd run to the city of refuge and thus find safety. These cities of refuge were such that the manslayer, that one who was guilty of manslaughter, had the right under the law. Now listen, he had the right under the law to flee to the city of refuge and was guaranteed safety if he fled to that city. Oh, listen to me before I proceed further. Every sinner, every guilty soul, you who today sits the wrath of God upon you and are guilty before God, every guilty soul has a right under God to flee to Christ for refuge. And everyone who flees is guaranteed safety in Him. You say, Pastor, how can you say a man has such a right? God gave it. And God promised it. He commands you to come. And if He commands you to come, you have a right to come. And coming, you're guaranteed safety and eternal life in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the refuge for sinners. All who come to Him are saved from the wrath of God. The way to Christ is as plain as the nose on your face. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by His blood and by His righteousness, has removed all the obstacles which might keep a sinner who seeks Him from finding Him. He even sends forth His Spirit to reveal the way, to lead us in the way, and to bring our souls safely into the refuge. Now let me show you three things this morning. First, we all need a refuge. A refuge is what we need in time of trouble, when we sense that we're in danger, when storms are brewing. We've all taken refuge in the midst of a storm, under a tree, or in the cleft of a rock, or under a shelter of some kind. The Lord Jesus Christ is just that for our souls. He is the great friend to whom sinners may and can and should turn in time of trouble. He is our strong castle. He is our mighty fortress. He is our high tower. He is the ark of safety to shield us from wrath and impending judgment. Just as Noah fled into the ark and was safe from the flood of God's wrath, so we must flee unto Jesus Christ and find safety in the time of trouble in Him. Listen to the Scriptures. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Did you hear me? God is a refuge for us. Turn to Isaiah 32. The eternal God is thy refuge. That is, the eternal God in Christ is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Here in Isaiah 32, the prophet Isaiah gives us a prophecy concerning Christ, our exalted King. Having accomplished redemption for us, now He's seated upon the throne of glory, King and Lord of the universe. And this is what the prophet says concerning Him. And a man shall be for a hiding place. It's marvelous that God should be for a hiding place. But God is beyond us. God is beyond our imagination. God is beyond our reach. God is beyond our comprehension. Oh, but when God assumed human flesh, now He who is God Almighty in human flesh, seated on the throne of glory, is not beyond us. He's not beyond our reach. He's not beyond our comprehension. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And this God-man is for a refuge, a hiding place to our souls. He's a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Let me address you first, who are under the wrath of God. Oh, God, help you to hear me. You need a refuge. Every son and daughter of Adam by nature stands before God guilty of sin, condemned by God's law. And you are right now in immediate danger of God's wrath. There's not something going to happen tomorrow. You weren't born in a state of innocency. We didn't come into this world on probation. We were born guilty and we were born condemned. We come into this world under the wrath of God, and we are all by nature children of wrath. That's the nature of humanity, and that's your nature. Because of sin, because you willfully rebel against God, despise His gospel, despise His word, despise His grace, despise His Son, because you've taken the Son of God and nailed Him to the cursed tree and spit in His face while you and laughed and danced while He died. Because you so despise God, you are by nature under the wrath of God. You may think, well, the pastor is just going to this old fashioned stuff, trying to scare us into the kingdom of God. I would to God I could scare you into the arms of Christ, but I know that can't be done. But I want you to understand that if you're without Christ, you are right now under the wrath of God. That wrath which burns the fires of hell is the same wrath that's on you. And God has set His bow, set His arrow in His bow. He's unsheathed His glittering sword. And there is but a breath between you and eternal damnation. The Scripture says God has set you in slippery places. And your feet are going to slide in due season. There's nothing keeping you out of hell right now but the sheer mercy of God. Oh, God, help you to hear me. You deserve to be damned right now. You deserve to be damned forever right now. Right now. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. And yet God Almighty is so merciful, so magnanimous, so gracious, so great, that He whose justice we offend constantly has made His own darling Son to be a sin-atoning refuge for guilty sinners. I can think of nothing more astounding. I want you to turn for a moment to Isaiah 28. Some of you here, perhaps many, but some of you, I'm certain, are self-sufficient and self-righteous. You have given yourself peace and security by fleeing to and building for yourself a refuge of lies. And that refuge of lies which you have built for yourself is that which you constantly turn to, and you say, now, this is my peace. This is my security. This is how I will stand before God. Everything's all right with me. Now, preacher, you don't have to worry about me. I'll be all right. Look here in Isaiah 28. The Lord God speaks, and He tells us how men speak to Him. Verse 15, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. You know, when you were a little boy, you went to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher got you to say, I believe in Jesus, and you made a covenant with death. You knelt at the front of the church, and you said the sinner's prayer, and the preacher said, now you're saved. You made a covenant with death. I know I was saved. I was there when it happened. You made a covenant with death. And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, God says it shall not come nigh unto us. So you say it shall not come nigh to us. For we have made lies our refuge. Not Christ, our experience, our notion, our prayers, our feelings. We made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now listen to what God says in verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. Let's test your refuge. God says, I'm going to drop the plumb bob. We're going to see how straight your wall is. I'm going to lay judgment to the line. We'll find out whether your refuge of lies will do you any good. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Sooner or later, God's going to destroy your refuge of lies. I pray it'll be today. Some of you, I hope, know your guilt before God. That's no common mercy. Oh, to be made aware of your guilt. Few people ever experience that. But knowing your guilt is not salvation. Salvation's fleeing to Christ. You who are believers, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we also need a refuge. We need Christ, our refuge, constantly. Our Lord Jesus bids us come to Him and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. He urges us to use Him as a refuge. He is our refuge to preserve us in time of temptation. The apostle says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." What's the way to escape? Oh, what temptations come our way. The temptations of the world, the lust and cares of the world and the riches of the world. But in the context, the temptations are the temptations to forsake the gospel. The temptations to take the religion of the world, which gives us acceptance with the world. To embrace the teachings of the world, which will cause the world to smile at us and embrace us. It's weary, weary, weary all the day long, constantly to be the brunt of the world's opposition. But there's no temptation taken you, but it's common to man. And God has made a way to escape. What is it? Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Constantly look to Christ. Your sons and daughters come along and they say, "But Dad, now, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I respect you, and I don't want to hurt you, but this is just too straight. This is too narrow. This is too strict." Don't you look in that daughter's eyes. She'll take you to hell. Don't you look in that son's eyes. He'll take you to hell. Look to Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. The same true of mother and father. We need a refuge in time of trouble. Oh, when God's children are in trouble. The Savior says, "Cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you." These days, preachers everywhere try to get church folks to come cast their care on them. And self-righteous, egotistical maniacs think that they can carry the burdens of the world, and they try to be counselors and psychologists and social workers and all this nonsense, and "You come to me, I'll take care of your troubles. Come talk to me." Heavy-hearted child of God, cast your care on Him. He's got shoulders broad enough for him to take care of your troubles. And He's the only one who can. He's the only one who can. "Let not your heart be troubled," our Savior says. You believe in God, believe also in Me. That's what it is to cast your care on Him. It's to believe Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is a refuge to protect us from every danger. The psalmist said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." He speaks to the believer and says concerning those who look to Christ, "He shall not be afraid of evil." Tidings, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. We need a refuge. Now let me show you this. The Lord Jesus Christ is exactly the refuge we need. Exactly the refuge we need. He's the refuge God appointed. These cities of refuge were not devised by men. They were not concocted by men, but rather the Lord God said, "When you come to possess the land, you mark out these cities," and He named six of them, "and these shall be your cities of refuge." And the Lord Jesus Christ is a refuge for our souls that God Almighty has appointed. As the Lord God anticipated a crime being performed, and before ever the crime was performed, provided refuge for the criminal, so before the fall ever took place back in eternity, God Almighty appointed His darling Son to be the refuge for our souls. The cities of refuge were given to provide shelter, safety, and life for people who justly deserve death. So Christ Jesus was given so that we who justly deserve to die might never die, but have safety, security, and eternal life in Him. If the avenger of blood caught the manslayer outside the city, then justice demanded that he die. The law required the avenger of blood to slay that man who slayed his brother. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If God catches you out of Christ, if justice finds you out of Christ, justice will slay you. God's obliged to do so. But that man who fled to the city of refuge, well, found safety and life and protection and was guaranteed those things by the very law of God. God said, now when a man comes into the city of refuge, let him declare his cause. Let him stand before the elders of judgment. And the elders of judgment, hearing his case, shall receive him into the city, and there he shall dwell. Now you and I, in Jesus Christ, are totally free from all possibility of condemnation. The law of God can do us no harm. The justice of God can exact not even one tithe of an ounce of satisfaction from us. Indeed, the law of God and the justice of God being fulfilled and satisfied by Christ are on our side and demand our everlasting salvation. Christ is the ark who has borne all the furious fullness of God's wrath for us, and we in him are never, never, never to experience God's wrath. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. And therefore we sing with the apostle, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. These cities of refuge were cities easily seen from anywhere in the city. They were always built on a hill, set up on a mountaintop, so that the manslayer might immediately look. There's the city! And off he runs to the city of refuge. Our Lord Jesus Christ is evidently set forth, crucified among you every time the gospel is preached. The Lord God says, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Look to me and be saved. He's the refuge. The road to the cities of refuge, as I said earlier, was always clearly marked. In Deuteronomy 19:3, God said, thou shalt prepare the way, that every slayer may flee thither. Those signs posted pointing refuge, refuge. And the way cleared up so that everybody was constantly made aware of the way to the city. In the gospel of Christ, turn to Romans chapter 10, let me show you. In the gospel of Christ, the way of life is so plainly marked, so clearly set before you, so plainly declared, that the scripture says the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. This is not deep, profound, mysterious stuff. This is plain as nose on your face. Romans 10, verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. The law of faith doesn't say, what shall we do? No, that's the law of work says that. Self-righteousness says, what shall we do? The law of faith doesn't say, what shall we do? But rather it speaks on this nigh. This wise, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These cities of refuge, all six of them, were easily accessible, plainly marked out, so that the wayfarer or the manslayer who would run for refuge might fly to that city with greatest of ease. So too it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every obstacle has been cleared out of the way. Sin had to be removed. Christ did it. Justice had to be satisfied. Christ did it. The law had to be fulfilled. Christ did it. Satan had to be bound. Christ has done it. And now the way is open. Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No type in the scriptures is a perfect picture of Christ. And here is one place where the city of refuge, cities of refuge fall down. In the cities of refuge, men had to run. Sometimes had to run pretty good distance. Sometimes as much as a half a day's journey. And they had to run with all speed to the refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ bids you run to him, but run with your heart. He bid you come to him, but come with your heart. You're to come to him not by doing something, but by believing. Believing him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. These cities of refuge were by the command of God open to both Jews and Gentiles. Now, I don't want you to miss this. The cities of refuge were provided only for those men who were guilty of manslaughter. But Christ is a refuge for sinners guilty of every crime. Pastor, can I come to Christ? Will he receive me? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Come to the Son of God and find refuge in him. These cities of refuge are cities in which those criminals who fled would find complete safety. But their safety was wrapped up altogether in two things: the life and death of God's high priest. The cities were all built or established and among those cities that were given to the Levites for an inheritance. How come? God gave the Levites 48 cities. Six of their cities were cities of refuge. Because there's no way of acceptance with God. There is no refuge for your soul except in God's high priest whom he has appointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a double reference here. When the high priest died, the man who came to the city of refuge, he'd come in, and there he'd abide until the death of the high priest. And what we read in Numbers 35, when the high priest died, that man could go home. He was totally free, and there was no possibility that the avenger of blood had any right to touch him. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, God's justice was satisfied, and God declares sinners to be free who trust in him. God's people freed from all condemnation forever because Christ died. But there's another significance here, another picture in the type. So long as the high priest was living, no harm could befall that sinner, that manslayer, that guilty criminal who dwelled in the city of refuge. Now listen to me. The Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest who died for us, lives forever. And he intercedes at the right hand of God Almighty for guilty sinners. And there's no possibility, as long as Christ lives, that one sinner for whom he makes intercession shall ever perish. He's finished his work, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and now makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Here's something else. Only those cities appointed by God were cities of refuge. No other. Wouldn't do a man any good to flee to any other city and say, let me have refuge here. He said, but I'm not guilty of anything. I just accidentally dropped a stone and it fell on a man's head and he's dead. I've got to have refuge. And the elders say, this is not a city of refuge. We can't help you. We can't help you. But the manslayer's pursuing after us. We can't help you. Well, that's not very kind. That's not very loving. But surely you ought to tell them, well, come on in, we'll make refuge for you. No, there's only one refuge. And the best thing we can do for you is say you've got to get to the city that God's appointed. Now listen to me. There's only one refuge for your soul. And that refuge is Jesus Christ the Lord. It won't do you any good to look to your feelings, your works, the church, your goodness in the eyes of men, your emotions. The only refuge for your soul is Christ the Lord, his blood and his righteousness. There's one other thing here. The manslayer had to dwell within the city. Wouldn't do any good to look at it. Got to come in. And having come into the city, he stayed there. He stayed there. As long as he dwelt in the city, life was his. We come to Christ and dwell in him, for he is our refuge. And everything we need is in him. Everything we want is in him. To forsake him is to forsake life. To forsake him is to perish. Abide in me, Abide in me, the Savior said, and you'll bring forth fruit. If you don't abide in him, every branch cut off from him withers and dies. God help you to flee to the refuge, Christ Jesus, and abide in the refuge for Christ's sake. Amen. Men, come lead us in a hymn, please.